This one is very handy. Okay. Oh, very fast, huh? Today is 14th of February, 2019, huh? Thursday class. We are reverting back to Pamasuri and Brother Tivan's house. So tonight is also Valentine's Day. So I wish you all a happy Valentine's Day. But you all have good spiritual roots. On Valentine's Day, you come for Dhamma class. So you can have Valentine with the Dhamma. So don't worry. You still have Valentine. Except the partner is the Dhamma. We wait for a while. Because Sui An and Mi Fong, they just came in. So let them have their sumptuous dinner. Before I forget, in front of you, there is a newly printed Bodhisattva vow card, which is very nicely done up. This one was proposed by Padmasuri. And because of that, we have this card, which is very handy. You want to make it smaller, you just fold it up. Otherwise, you can keep it as an A4 size. So this will go along very well with your Heart Sutta book or the cultivation of the Bodhisattva Way, the blue book. And this is a very handy card where you can bring along anywhere when you travel. Initially, this Bodhisattva vow, you need to put in some very strong faith and diligence to get to understand what it means. Then later on, constantly recall the vow and recite it in front of the triple gem. Initially, you may have to do it on a daily basis for about 3 months. By then, I think you should be very familiar. Then most of the time, you don't even have to memorize. You can use your own word and make the vow. Of course, if you can follow the actual word, it will help you a lot. Okay, we can get ready for puja. Can we get Padmasuri and relatives to suggest 3 people to help light the candle and the incense? Who you want to nominate? Joseph is new, Kok Loon also, then Serena. Okay. I, on your behalf, I invite them. Come, 3 of you. Help to light the incense and candle. Never mind. They will do it out. Don't worry. Come. Okay, the rest of us can stand. So, you put that garland up. Yeah. Ah, Xin Nian. Yi Nian Yi Ci, okay. Woman Valentine with the Dhamma. Oh, Kiat Hun Yai Lai. Kiat Hun is also here. So, your Valentine's Day is with the Dhamma this year, Yeah, Valentine with the great wings. Enough? The card enough or not? Oh, never mind. Outrage, those not enough, they can collect from me. Okay. We shall commence the puja offering now. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. After this, no need. After this, the flower, the flower. The rest we can offer later. Do sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, we shall offer the rest of the item. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, the sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated and turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adhinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we are chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sarappa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganna sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa. Siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena namatlena hotuya. Pupang melayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang. Adivase tuno bante paniyang parika pitang. Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang. Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Adivase tuno bante bojanang parika pitang. Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now you will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect, triple jam. Bhutang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. We shall off the light. Then you can have your half an hour of silent meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed. Then for those who still need to train your mind, you can also do so. The key to meditation is very simple. You only need to develop the ability to relax your mind, then maintain silent, aware. That's it. You don't have to do anything technically. If the heedless thinking come, let it arise. You just maintain silent awareness. It will slow down on its own. The mind will return to its original state of stillness, awareness, silent, without thought. That is your true mind. So, don't need to do anything. Some of you may not understand, because there's a lot of people who are so conditioned by the traditional methods and techniques to do meditation. The key to understanding meditation is heedfulness. The Buddha make it very clear under Appamada Vagga. All the verses under Dhammapada, verse 21 onward to 40, they are all on heedfulness. Verse 21, 22, 23 is the most important. The Buddha say, without heedfulness, you are as if dead. So heedlessness is the path to the dead. Whereas if you are heedful,
you never die. The heedful does not die. If you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. So heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the Buddha said. When you can develop the ability to be heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. So all meditations center on this understanding. To be heedful, you need two qualities as per Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative, ever mindful. So you need to be ever mindful and constantly meditative. Then if you hold on to these two practices, the steadfast one, you will realize the supreme enlightenment of Nibbana. So heedfulness has two parts. You have to be ever mindful. To be ever mindful, you need to train your mind to be mindful first. To be mindful is to be aware without thought, silent. That's why meditation is just relax, maintain silence or awareness. You don't have to do anything else. So the various method and technique and all the instruction they give you in the past, for those who are not familiar, who are so used to the conditioning, you have to understand they are just skillful means to train the mind, to anchor your mind to the meditation object or the methods and technique, so that your mind is not heedlessly lost in thought, wandering off. So when you understand this, your meditation becomes very simple. Then technically, the Buddha said, if you have the spiritual faculty developed earlier, you need not have to train your mind. Your mind will be automatic in the meditative state. Because when the spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrance ceases to be. So without mental hindrance, your mind will enter the meditative states, because mental hindrance hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. So either you have the spiritual faculty, straight away you can go into the meditative state. But if you still haven't developed it to the stability where your mind can be on its own, mindful and aware, then you need to maybe develop some skillful means to train this mundane mind. You have to train it. You can start off with the mind sweeping method, followed by loving kindness, metta. When you combine them, it will be a very, very good way to actually transform your mind. Your mind that still has the hindrance because you lack the spiritual faculty will think a lot, become heedless. So to decondition this heedless thinking, the mind sweeping method is the best. You just feel, relax. You don't think, you don't do anything. Relax, relax, relax. So feel, relax, until your mind calms down. Then when it calms down, it's in the natural state of awareness, mindfulness. That's why after your mind sweeping method, it will like transform your mind into a new way of arising. Means you're no longer heedless. You are just aware, silent. You feel, you relax. So this will bring about the quietness of mind, the mind that is just aware. But this mind, you need to stabilize it because you don't have the spiritual faculty. Your spiritual faculty are not established. So you stabilize it through an object of meditation that the Buddha normally advised, anapanasati, means maintain mindfulness on the in and out breath. That's it. So that so-called anapanasati is actually not a method or a technique. It is just a skillful means to anchor the mind so that you have an object of meditation for you to be mindful of. So you just silence your mind, maintain attention at your nostril, then just allow the breath to move naturally. Then as it moves, your mind, your awareness will detect it. When it detects, let it harmonize or synchronize. The breath and the awareness move as one without thought. That is anapanasati. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Just do that. Initially, when you are not skillful, you are not used to this training, then you come to realize the mind wanders off very fast. Split second is gone. You cannot maintain awareness of your in and out breath for even a split second. But don't worry. Training is every time it wanders off, remember to come back to the breathing. If you are patient, given time, the anapanasati will develop. Then when it develops, your mind becomes very calm, very peaceful, very quiet, because the mind that is aware in sati without thought will experience the calmness, the peacefulness. That's why you will come to understand that this mind that is established in sati or mindfulness is very quiet, very peaceful. And you will experience a type of spiritual joy or peace they call piti. Then sometimes if it's the first time you experience it, it like give you a lot of joy. Then sometimes it's like a rupture inside your mind. It's so much joy, like a rupture. They call it spiritual rapture. Then you continue to relax into it and allow the anapanasati to develop. Initially, it may develop into long breath, long breathing. The more you develop it, the more stable it becomes, and the more quiet your mind becomes. And it becomes more and more refined, peaceful. Until the breath is become like very, very clear to you. You are fully aware of the in and out breath. Every in and out breath is like very long. Then everything is like very clear. So you need to establish this clarity, stabilize it. Then as you do it, you continue to relax into it and silent. Then this piti will transform, until it becomes very, very quiet, very peaceful, much more refined. Then you will experience what they call sukhang. Sukhang is the blissfulness of mind. The mind enters the state of bliss. It starts to experience that blissful state. When you are able to experience that blissful state, your mind is very blissful. And you will understand what that thing is, because that word bliss is really blissful. It is one of the best feeling you will ever experience, is that bliss. Then sometimes it gives rise to the tingling sensation and all those things. Then you will experience it so blissful. Then you continue to relax and silent. Suddenly, this breath becomes slower, 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 and until it becomes very quiet, then it doesn't breathe anymore. Like the breath more or less stopped. Actually, it didn't stop. There is this subtle breathing going on. Then later, it's translated into internal breathing. That's why sometimes you hear people say they use Tan Tian to breathe. So all this is what meditation is all about. But you don't have to. You just silence your mind until it's very quiet, very still. Then from sukhang, it will become pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. So all of the anapanasati training is to establish this state of stillness, tranquility. When you are in this state of pasati, there is no thought, no movement at all. Even that anapanasati also like stop, no more breathing. The breathing is like very short and very still, very quiet, shallow breathing. We call it the subtle breathing, hardly breathe. Then during that time, Don't panic. Don't develop any unwise notion of what meditation is. You just silence everything. Don't try to know. Don't do anything. Just maintain your awareness at that silent breath or subtle breathing. Just stay there. Stay there. Until this capacity stabilizes, then all of a sudden you will experience what they call the mind that enters sati. When the mind enters sati, this mind is very quiet, it's in sati on its own, and it's very sensitive. Wherever you locate it, it will detect. So when this mind enters sati, you will know. The slightest movement is like magnifying. All your activity is like magnifying. Then your feeling and the breath, the subtle breathing will like become clear to you again. It will come back to you. Yeah. Then you can maintain this state for enough time. It will develop into the stability of samadhi. When you are in this state of paccity leading to samadhi, your mind that is in sati has the stability. Then after that, everything you do, whatever movement or activity, becomes very clear to you. Your mind becomes very sensitive, very still. And the awareness is different. Then when you sit in that silence, you can understand many things. That is through meditation. Whatever arises, let it arise, let it pass. Through that silence, you will awaken, you will understand. Then you will start to develop clear understanding of who you are, what this mind aggregate of form and mind is, what the sense bases are, and how, upon contact, what happened. Not theory anymore, it's seeing things as they are, experiencing them as they are in the meditative silence. That is true meditation. Then after that, when you come out of the meditation, you will come to understand that all of a sudden your mind is different. Every activity, every movement, your awareness is there. Then everything like slow down. But you can move at the normal pace, yet you are aware. Then you will come to understand what the meditative mind that is in sati is all about. During that time, every action, every movement, you are in sati. Every hearing, you are in sati. Every seeing, you are in sati. Every smell, taste, tactile, you are in sati. Every arising of thought, or feeling, or emotion, the sati is there. Then you can be at the moment of feeling, at the moment of perception, at the moment of consciousness. Everything, your mind can be aware and be with it. That is the true sati. When sati is very stable, you can have that ability. Then in the midst of life, the daily mindfulness become like very natural, very easy. Then you start to see a lot of things that you never see before. Your subtle mental intention, your whatever mental hindrance, your whatever mind state that arise. Then later on, as you progress, as you understand, you will start to insight into phenomena, awaken, and develop the wisdom. Initially is the initial wisdom. Then later on, you will stabilize your understanding through deep contemplation, constant reflection on the Dhamma, and inquiry into the Dhamma. Then after that, with the condition arising, understanding, the mind is ready to enter cessation, to realize what they call enlightenment or Nibbana. So all these are possible. You just do. Don't try to know. Establish the stability of mindfulness and awareness. Then your mind will transform. Okay. I will let you meditate from now onward, and when the 30 minutes is up, I will ring the bell. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. For those who already have stabilized their spiritual faculty, and you have already established the ability to stay with the silent mind, the stability of mindfulness is already established. Then when you come out of the meditation, you can maintain your awareness. You will understand what I described just now, before the earlier instruction. Your mind that enters the deep will become different. But during this time, you cannot be complacent. You have to establish it until it's very stable. You have to continue to develop the daily mindfulness until it is really, really stable. Until throughout the day, most of the time, if not all the time, you are mindful, aware of everything you do. Then later on, you need not slow down. You can move at your normal pace, do everything at your normal pace. You will still be aware. Then, as the awareness develops, it will slow down by itself. You don't have to do anything. You will know the best pace to be aware. Then as this establishes, you become very skillful. Then later on, you realize at whatever speed the awareness is there, where the mind is already in deep. So that time, anything you see or observe, the mind that is in sati is very different. And when you look at the TV, again, a lot of things will happen. You can follow all of the movement inside there. The whatever color, pixel, all the movement and activity within that video or that TV screen. You can be just seeing it like nobody is there. It's just the awareness of all this movement. No matter how fast, that silence can capture it. And it's so beautiful. Inside, completely still, silent, just aware. And everything you come to observe is just awareness, nothing else. Then because you have a form in mind, you need to live life. You need to be aware. You need to perceive, you perceive. You need to arise a thought, you arise a thought. You need to move, you move. You need to drive, you can still drive with awareness. Communicate, live like a normal person, but fully aware. But the third phase of transformation will take a while. After you have developed the daily mindfulness, stabilize it, that is the beginning of true Satipatthana, the four foundation of mindfulness. By then, you are at least beyond the first stage of sainthood. Then after that, as you continue to progress, your sati become very different. Then as your mind transforms, you become very different again. Then when this wisdom and understanding also stabilize, then you become normal again. You are like a normal human being again. That's why the three types of seeing in the Mahayana, you will start to understand. At first is the mundane seeing, Kan San Si San. When you look at the mountain, mundane people say this is mountain. So mundane seeing, you will understand because you've gone through life. You have been through that stage. And when you transform, you realize the pure awareness, the pure perception, there is no word, no concept, no mundane mind to perceive. That's why Kan San, Pu Si San. There is no name for that thing. You see things as they are, without the words, without the concept. It's just that pure perception, the pure awareness of what that thing is. Then as you stabilize, your wisdom, understanding all stabilize. And finally, you come back to realize the world is the world. Thing is just the way it is. And then you go back to normal. Kan san, Yus san, so that time the mountain appear again. Not to say it appeared because it was never there. It was there all the time, but there is no mind to describe it. So the third phase, when you become normal again, you have established the wisdom of both sides, the mundane and the supramundane. That's why you can fit in, you can live life, and you become normal again, but you become very beautiful. Yeah. Okay, with that, turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajas Sunantu Sakamokkhadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampano Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang Chatari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect Triple J. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, in front of you, you have a Parisata vow, the chanting cup. This one has been prepared by, I think, Sister Padmasuri. She got it typed out, and I think we format it into a cut form so that it's convenient for you to bring along. You can bring it along anywhere you want to go. Then you want to make it smaller, fold it up into a booklet size. If you want to put it into the Heart Sutta, no need to fold, or the cultivating the Bodhisattva way, you just put it in. And this one, for those who have already taken the vow, you may want to renew it. And this one, for you, those who are new, you need to do it almost daily for at least 1 to 3 months. The recommended is 3 months so that you get yourself familiar with the vows. And this will help you a lot in your cultivation, so that in future, when the sasana is no more, when you are conditioned into this conditioned world, whether you are forced to come through karma, or if your bodhisattva vow already taken effect and you have developed that first phase of bohimai development very strong, and your vow has taken effect, then you can choose to come. Choose to come in a very limited way. You cannot choose to come in a very fantastic way, because initially your parami are not developed as yet. So you can choose to come, but you don't have much understanding yet. So you cannot come in a very unique way or a very special way. So when you choose to come, means you know the way. Your mind has the ability to cease when you die, means you can realize Nibbana. For those who don't have the vow, they can cease into Arahantship and no more. But for those who have this vow, the vow will bring forth the condition for it to come, and it will come. Then when it comes, because of your this vow and aspiration deeply planted into your nature, the first stage of bohimai development, that one is very important. If you have planted that very well, very stable, with a lot of sincerity, faith and understanding, then you have been diligent in doing your vows and aspiration, it will take you along, and your progress will be very different. You will become very different. You will transform very, very fast. So this is a very important card for you to keep. So there is a request from Padmasuri, because of condition. This is the first class for the Chinese Lunar Year 2019. Our first Thursday class. Tuesday class, we didn't have it. So today is still within the 15. Today is the 10. The 10 of the first lunar month into the year 2019, the year of the peak. So they say this year of the peak happened to be a good one. So a lot of Chinese have this belief. Feiji. Prosperous year. So looks like it's going to be a good year, even for Kayanamita. We have the condition to get this card printed, and the timing is very, very appropriate, very apt. So there's a suggestion that we do this now today, at this particular Thursday class, to kick start the new year. Then at the same time to remind you of this vows, so that you will have a clear understanding of what it is. So what you need is to have the faith deep in your mind. Establish that deep faith through knowing how important these vows are and how it can help you and take you along. Technically, when you have established this vow correctly, firmly, sincerely, with a lot of understanding, it will generate a very powerful movement within your nature. And this will trigger off the Bodhi mind that is very, very powerful. And this Bodhi mind will move and take you along. Then from all this understanding, you will know how to cultivate whenever you arise, whether you choose to come or you have to come through coming. Then even when there is no more sasana, this understanding will be there. The moment you hear truth, the moment you hear any of this Dhamma, you will recall. Yeah. And the Bodhi mind, they will arise by itself. Yeah. It is already there. Yeah. And this Bodhi mind, once you have planted it deep, it will nurture, it will grow, and it will take effect. Yeah. The form and mind will inherit and recall. Then a lot of things you come, you don't have to learn again. The moment you see, the moment you hear, you will understand. Then the cultivation is so direct, you won't go wrong. Yeah. You just know what to do. Like this, like my nature come. Nobody taught me anything. I don't even know what meditation is. But the moment I see that, I know what to do. Then I go for even other retreat where they teach me other funny method and technique. I cannot do. I just sit. Then I do my own. Then it just come. The understanding just come. Then the moment I hear truth, I see truth, I understand. Yeah. Then there were a lot of things that arise when I was young, like condition for me to see, to understand. Then my form and mind know that these are things that seldom happen to normal people. So I was already, when I was very young, I was already ready, and I knew my nature is different. I'm different. Yeah. A lot of things that happen to me makes me understand why it is that way. And all these are possible because of these vows. If it's not because of this vow, all these are not possible. Then also the inheritance from the karmic nature, the spiritual nature, and all the understanding that this nature has developed. Okay, now we compose our mind, develop the faith, sincerity, then we shall recite together so that we can save time. So first one is taking of the Bodhisattva vow. But before you take this vow, we have to make the special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. But this aspiration will help you, and it's very important. Without this aspiration for all this understanding, this way is very difficult. You can't walk at all. The vow alone, not enough if you don't have this understanding. So this one, we will read together. Taking of the Bodhisattva vow. Okay, we shall commence. Making a special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. The first aspiration is, by the power of whatever blessing and wholesomeness that this nature of mine have cultivated from the distant past until now, may it arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mine to have the following right Dhamma understanding life after life, whenever it chooses to come or have to come in the form of a form and mind. First is right view with regards to the law of karma, karma niyama, the law of dependent origination or dwelling, citta niyama, and the four noble truths, dhamma niyama. Then the second right view is to understand the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind clearly via the direct seeing. To realize that they are all conditioned arising entities, causal phenomena, hence impermanent, leading to suffering, not me, non-self, and empty. That this so-called living being, the five aggregates of form and mind, is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool
For me to come to this existential world, to develop the cultivation and experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the right thought, right speech and right action, to be a blessing to all, and not to be deluded by it. To constantly recite with understanding the following Dhamma profoundly. Rupang anicchang, rupang anatta, vedana anicchang, vedana anatta, sanya anicchang, sanya anatta, sankara anicchang, sankara anatta, vijnanang anicchang, vijnanang anatta, sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkhang, sabbe dhamma anatta. Then the third right view. Having developed the above right view, this nature of my vow to always keep the following three sets of pure precepts, following the advice of all Samasambuddha, to avoid all evil and to understand clearly what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. To cultivate all virtues and blessings leading to the perfection of them all. To cultivate wisdom to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. So these three sets of pure precepts are actually more intense understanding of the advice of the Buddha. The advice of the Buddha is just avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind. But the three steps are pure precept. That's why we call it pure precept, where the bodhisattva take. And these three pure precepts is an elaborate extension of the advice of the Buddha. So the first one, not only avoid all evil, but you have to clearly understand what constitutes evil. Then you have to expand on it. The three evil roots, greed, hatred, delusion. What are they? What is greed? It's not just greediness. All of your craving, your desire, your lust, your selfishness, they are all part of the evil root of greed. Then when it comes to anger, it is not just hatred. It's not just anger. Your envy, your jealousy, your slight dislike, unhappiness, these are all part of the evil root of anger, means the negative craving. Then delusion. What constitutes delusion? Not knowing the truth is one of them. Not knowing the truth leads to what? Fear, worry, anxiety, doubt. All these are delusion. So you expand on it. Then when you understand, when you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness in your daily life, you will understand what the evil roots are. Then you, when you see it, you will know how to arise the four right effort to abandon it, to prevent it from arising. If you don't even know what they are, you cannot cultivate. Understand? That's why this pure precept is very different. Then the second one, to cultivate all virtue and blessing leading to perfection of them all. You know the difference in that. That's why the normal sainthood way, what do? Do good. When do good compared to this second precept you all are taking as a bodhisattva, you know how different it is. You're supposed not only to do good, you're supposed to cultivate all virtue and blessings leading to the perfection of them all. That is the extent of precept that we are doing. Without this, you cannot perfect wisdom. You cannot do this work. That's why the third one is to cultivate wisdom to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. The third advice of the Buddha is to purify your mind and liberate yourself, isn't it? To become enlightened here. That is the sainthood way. But here, you not only cultivate wisdom,
you cultivate wisdom not only for your own form and mind to liberate, but to liberate all sentient beings, because that is your vow. You come for the living beings. And without this vow, without this pure precept, you cannot continuously come back to this samsara, or what they call conditioned world. But when you walk this path, you will know it's very rewarding. So because of that, when you continue to come, it is so beautiful. Whereas you go the sainthood way, once you hit Sotapanna, maximum seven life, you come back to the sanctuary. Then the moment you hit Anagami, you don't come back. You are a non-returner. You cannot come to the conditioned world anymore. Even if you want to come, you cannot come. Then the moment you finish off your arahantship, the form and mind cease, and your identity erased. Your nature also ceases with you. You got no more nature. That's why for those who don't understand, they always create, they say, sainthood way enough. I'm very contented. But you don't know what is the big difference. So when you understand all this, you become very different. Okay? So now we continue with the second one, which is the second part, which is taking of the actual four basic vows. So this one we read together. Just as all the previous Sugata, the Buddha, generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplished all the stages of Bodhisattva training, so too will this nature of mind, for the sake of all living beings, generate the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish all the stages of the Bodhisattva training, so that the seed of Bodhi can be strongly planted within my nature. Then now you will take the vow. This nature of mind further vow with utmost sincerity, faith and perseverance to walk this to perfection this Bodhisattva way. We are taking the four initial basic vows of the Bodhisattva. This nature of mind vows to liberate the countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. This nature of mind vows to endure and severe over section and suffering. This nature of mind vows to cultivate and penetrate all dhammas, to realize the perfection of all wisdom. This nature of mind vows to perfect the 10 paramitas or 10 perfection to realize the unsurpassed Samasam Buddhahood. Then page 3. Additional vow to break all karmic obstruction to bring about the way. This one is very important. Whether you go the Bodhisattva way or not, you better make this vow. Otherwise, I tell you, the karmic obstruction can be very severe. You never know what you have done in the past. So this one you will recite together so that it will help you. I will read the title again. Additional vows to break all karmic obstruction to bring about the way. If by action, speech or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, via ignorance, delusion and heedlessness, that this nature of mind had offended or done anything wrong out to the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mind had caused any karmic negativity, misery, suffering or misled, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. May my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all, so that all this karmic obstruction can be amicably resolved and watered down or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mind to continue with its cultivation to realize the true Dhamma with ease. This nature of mind also vowed to repent and from now onwards vow never to repeat any of this karmic negativity born of greed, hatred and delusion by following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good and purify my mind. We are striving on with heedfulness to keep the five precepts and cultivate the Buddha Dhamma diligently so that it will never violate this law of karma again whenever it arises. By the power of whatever wholesomeness or merits that this nature of mine had cultivated since the distant past until now, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mine to have the ability to overcome all other karmic obstruction or obstacle amicably, so that this nature of mine will be able to gain back its life, life after life, to walk the path of Dhamma, to fulfill and realize all its bodhisattva vows. Then the other four additional miscellaneous vows is to enhance your cultivation. So this one, I add it in for your whatever benefits. You can modify it. Later on, as you progress, you can introduce your own unique miscellaneous vow. Yeah, these are vows that are unique to you. But what I put here is just the general one that can help you in a very big way to go this way. Yeah, this is what my nature has perfected and understood. So that's why it will help you. This nature of my vow to fulfill, to be successful in fulfilling all my above vows soon as possible. So this, wait. I have to explain that. This vow, the additional miscellaneous vow, is very important. You have to vow to be successful in fulfilling all your above four bodhisattva vows. If you don't vow to be successful in them, it's not easy. You have to do that. Then after that, we continue. This nature of my vow to cultivate strong affinity with all Buddhas and bodhisattva, and to request their nature's blessing, protection, and guidance always. If you don't do this, it will take you a long, long time. If you do this, you will move very fast. Beyond their nature, which is already perfected, will take you along. You understand? You only need to cultivate affinity with them. So to cultivate strong affinity means what? Whatever forehound they have, learn to chant like Kuan Yin. Heart Sutta, Om Pe Mi Me Mi Hom, Great Compassionate Mantra, and all these things. Then all the various chanting of all the great beings. That's why all this is to develop strong affinity. Then the most important thing is to pay respect. That itself is great affinity. Yeah. Then make offering. Make offering. Yeah. Then cultivate the Bodhisattva way. Learn the Diamond Sutta teaching. Develop your mind to have the understanding of the three hallmark of Huineng's cultivation. No thought leading to no mark, leading to no dwelling. When your mind is in this state, your affinity with the great beings, the Buddha, will be very, very extensive, because your cultivation is at the same level as what they are cultivating. That's why you can establish affinity. Then the protection is to protect your form and mind. Your nature don't need protection, but your form and mind, every life it comes, it is very fragile and very delicate in its protection. Yeah. Okay, the third one. This nature of my vow to strengthen my five spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya until they become balas or power, life after life, so that all the above vows can be successfully fulfilled with ease. Unless your spiritual faculties are unshakable, become powers, you don't stand a chance, I tell you. You have to develop this. And this is the vow, not only one life, no. Life after life, you have the spiritual faculty. That's why my nature, when it comes this life, is already perfected. That's why the moment I recall all this, I go all out, my nature go all out to cultivate all this. Then my spiritual faculty stabilize very fast. That's why my meditation becomes very different. That's why I understand a lot of things that people don't understand. What sati is and all these things. Yeah. And all these are not written anywhere, not in any book though, so far. Okay, the last one. This nature of my vow to cultivate extensively all virtue, blessings, and merits to help support my cultivation, so that they will shine forth to aid this nature of mine when needed in times of trials, difficulties, and tribulation while walking the Bodhisattva way. You know why you need the virtue and the merits?
That's why you don't cultivate until the Diamond Sutta understanding or the three hallmark of winning. Your merit is negligible, actually. Very, very small. But when you have that ability and these very powerful merits and virtue, they will actually help you when you walk this way. When you walk this way, you encounter a lot of problems. Human being, I tell you, is crazy. Really crazy. All sorts of living beings you will encounter. But with this, you can invoke the power of merits and blessing. And this is the one that can help you in times of difficulty. And a lot of things can happen. It's really, they say, it's more fantastic than the fantastic. You understand? I used to tell you, you think it's like a miracle. It's even more fantastic than miracle. A lot of things you never expect, you think cannot be done. Impossible. But when the time comes, when you have this type of cultivation, when you invoke through understanding, through the condition, I tell you, it not only manifests, it causes things to arise. And this is very powerful. That's why all these four miscellaneous vows, they came from my nature's understanding. That's why I included it under this, what they call the Bodhisattva vow that I did it for you all. And this is the actual message that Maitreya wanted me to hand it down in the year 2008. That's why this one came out, the book came out. And the request came in the year 2008, which is about 10 whole years ago. So with this, we pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, good. So, first of all, I would like to sadhu you all for your good condition. And you all should thank Pamasuri for all this. She created the condition. She wanted this. Shall we rejoice? Sadhu. 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 So, when you do all this with understanding, you will show progress and you will progress very fast. Then especially this one, you have developed this life until it really take effect. Means you plant the seed of Bohi, the first stage of Bohi mind development, very, very firmly, with very strong faith, sadha, virya, and great sincerity. Then you are set for not only this life, for all your future coming. But you have to have that faith, that sincerity. Then you diligently cultivate. And you will become very different, I tell you. After this life, you don't have to worry anymore. Your understanding will follow you, life after life, even without the sasana. Then you know how to break the karmic obstruction. You don't have to continuously repeat your mistake and find the right condition to come out of your mistake. I realize a lot of cultivators, they fail to realize it's because every time they have the condition they cultivate, that is during the sasana. Then after the sasana, they get lost again for very, very long. You understand? You don't know where you go, not only Holland, I don't know which planet or which universe. You don't know how to come back. And you have to wait till the next sasana. And you don't know how to break your karmic obstruction. When the next sasana comes, maybe you don't have a chance to be born again. But if you have like this life, cultivated a lot of affinity or the kayanamitas, any of these kayanamitas one day become great beings, you're sure already connected. Understand? So you don't have to worry too much. That's why you take this vow. Make sure you are established in this vow.
Then line after line, you have the condition to connect. And I can tell you, a lot of you may not know your nature. For you to have such parami, to be born during this sasana and have the condition to receive this type of teaching, you have your path. Yeah? Trust your own nature. And once you are connected, you move very fast and you will become very different. And this understanding will revolutionize the way the Bodhisattva walks his way. It cut short the training by a lot. You know what are the things that cut short your training or not? Yeah? Because of the right view and the right understanding that you vow to have life after life when you come. That is the first one. The second one is what? You cultivate until your merits is so immense. Then you invoke power of merits for all the causes and conditions for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. And that one is also very powerful. Then the third one, the most powerful one, is your strong affinity with all the Buddhas and the great beings. When you make aspiration, invoke power of merits, and develop the affinity with them so that they will continuously bless, protect, and guide you. That one is very powerful. Yeah, their nature is very powerful. And they are very compassionate, very wise. So guide you is to guide you to walk the way. Guide you is to guide you to develop the wisdom. Protect is to protect your form and mind. Blessing is to bless your nature, to bless your form and mind, every life you come. And all these are possible. That's why a lot of Bodhisattva fail to understand this. They never invoke this. The great blessing of all the great beings and Sammasambuddha. You must seek their protection, blessing and guidance. Then invoke power of merits for causes and conditions to arise. Then the other thing is, you must express your gratitude every time. Because when my nature comes this life, I realize I every time establish gratitude to all these great beings and the Buddha. Because many of these, they are such beautiful beings. They have helped my nature for so long, especially Kuan Yin. Kuan Yin, my nature has very, very strong affinity. Because it's my second nature to me. I know how her vow can come to be and all those things. And she is really compassionate. Really, really compassionate and wise. He got this vow, whoever who chant her whatever for how and establish affinity, whatever you aspire for, there will be a response. If you are very sincere, the response will come very fast. That's why all these are the power merits through what? Through adhitana. You know what is adhitana, huh? Adhitana in Thai. You know what is adhitana, no? Ah, yes. Your vows, your aspiration. You must know how to make all this. And it is one of the 10 perfections, do you know that? And my nature is very lucky because it sees the importance of this. That's why it perfected this one first. That's why I know how to use the power of aspiration. I know how to establish all this vow because of that perfection. There are a lot of things that you can learn, develop, and establish and make use of to help you walk the way, understand the teaching, awaken, and help living beings. That's why every time great beings come, different great beings has different understanding, different way they establish their own unique quality. And each and every of these Buddhas and great beings, you can learn a lot from them. But they are all very unique. You may think there is already a lot, a very extensive, very established, but there are still a lot of new beings, cultivated great beings, who because of their ability to experience all this great civilization, great transformation, and great understanding. So when you learn from all, you establish your own, then you help the overall. Then people learn from you, from all the other great beings, all the other Sammasambuddha. That's why if you alone were to cultivate and to walk this way, it's very difficult, almost impossible, because the way is too long. But when you are able to look at all this, then make use of your understanding to screen through and establish those very useful cultivation, then you incorporate them and come out with your own. You progress very fast. It's just like our Earth. You look at the last 30 years or 40 years, we progress so fast. Why? Because we have established a lot of understanding of the scientific law, physical law and biological law, the Uttoniyama and Vijayaniyama. And when you have the understanding, then because of the way our civilization is established, we have all the various fields of study. That's why our education system is very good. We got R&D. We got what they call society and all those things that develop the coordination of the research, and they publish their paper. Whether it's already a theory or still a hypothesis, they will publish it first. Then people will try to develop the understanding, put to test. Then when they stand up to investigation, there is a breakthrough again. So over the years, there is a lot of breakthrough. And now, with advancement in the digital technology, the internet technology, a lot of this has become possible. The human mind alone cannot. Impossible to store so many things and understand so many things. But now through the internet, a lot of things you don't need to learn. Understand? Whatever you want to understand, you Google. Later on, maybe no need Google. Now you can talk to Google. Sri An taught me, "Hey Google." So all this, we think is fantastic. You remember Nokia phone? How long was it? Only not many years back, you know, less than 10 years now. Now you look at Nokia phone, it's really like very primitive, behind time. I tell you, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, you will have new understanding and digital technology that will make our WhatsApp obsolete too. Our WhatsApp and the thing that you see now, you think very fantastic. Later on, our children, our grandchildren, they will tell us, "Papa, you miss. There are a lot more things." But we are already very, very fortunate, very blessed, because we get to experience this, I call it the golden age. For me, it's really beautiful, golden age, to have the ability to experience all these things. We were so lucky, we saw the old and the new. We were born, for me, I was born in the 50s. And I saw the 60s. I saw the 70s. Then I saw the 80s when I went to. In the 70s, I went to the uni. Then when I graduated 79, I saw the 1980s. That is the beginning of extensive advancement in civilization. So the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, and now going into the 2010 and 20, they were very, very beautiful years. And our civilization continued to progress so fast. So during the 70s, we are really still very primitive. although our education system at that time is not that bad, I should say. Then during the 80s, when I graduated and came out to work, I thought it was already very fantastic. Well, at that time, a lot of engineering projects take off. I remember 1979, first Malaysia plan, second Malaysia plan, the North-South Highway, all I got to be part of all these things. Yeah. That's why I saw the infrastructure development of our country, Malaysia, take off, and all the major structure buildings and other things. Yeah. But then, by the time I reached the year 2004, I saw the KL skyline, yeah. Oh, all the various type of fantastic architectural design and feature. Again, it was a marvel to me. But then when we hit beyond the year 2000, actually the last 20 years was fantastic, I tell you. We progressed so fast. So many things just get developed. The way we do our banking, the way we do our purchasing, the way we understand the world, interact with each other, is so different now. Last time, one video call or conference call is like very fantastic. Now, you can get free WhatsApp call and all these things. Then you can see a lot of changes happening. Even our own consciousness is moving very fast. You know why it can happen? Because the new era of newborn kids, even my two children, they are of the digital economy. When they come, I didn't advise them or force them to do any course. I said, you choose the one you want to do. Both also do IT. So, we are just a digital age, and they would like to come during this digital age because these are their vows. These are their whatever understanding. They choose this. Whereas my nature choose the transition. I like to see the old and the new. And I come after the World War II. Yeah. When the education system or the condition are there, everything is there for my nature to establish itself. Otherwise, if I come too early, no use. Yeah. Too late also no use. Huh? Too late also cannot see you all. Too early also cannot meet up with you all. Yeah. Why is it like that? It's because your parami, your affinity. And like I used to say, I don't know, some of you may be the food I eat. That's why you are here. But you are the food I eat and you are here, you better be diligent. You better work hard. Those that already have affinity with my nature or the great being's nature, Kuan Yin, and you come because of all this, you don't have to worry. Your past is already set. But it depends. Because the whole universe, the countless living beings, everyone's nature is very different. But the civilization we choose to come depend on your understanding. That's why just now when we are about to start our vow, I say you choose to come. Initially, you don't have the established parami. Your choice is little, very limited. You know how to come, but you don't have much choice. That vow take you here. But later when you establish, you make aspiration, you can choose the timing. Like my nature, the transition period, all, you can choose. Then you can have a lot of option, a lot of variation. Then when your nature come, it need a form and mind. Always remember. And this form and mind is subject to karma. You cannot play a fool. You have to have all this understanding. That's like the two aspects of the form and mind, just like the five aggregate. I reminded you all with the aspiration that you make. You must have clear understanding of them through the direct seeing to awaken. So that life after life you come, you understand. And you will not be deluded. And these two aspects of the five aggregates, So far, I haven't seen any book write about it or any monk talk about it. They only have the words, Rupa Vedana Sanya Sankara Vijnanam. But nobody can establish what this is. Even this one is subject to karma, also nobody talk about it. They only talk about anatta. But what is anatta, they don't understand. They think they understand, most of them. Because this form of mind is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. It's not a permanent and changing entity. That's why it's not real. It's not you. But it's related to your karmic nature, understand? Through karma, it comes. It's a tool and a vehicle for you to come, for your nature to come. But this is not your nature, understand? But to come, you need a vehicle and a tool. And this one is karmically conditional. And this one is not real. That's why when you cannot understand this, you cannot live life. You will be sucked and drawn into the delusion. And because this is so real to you, understand? If I say you are not real, you believe or not? Huh? You believe or not? You say, Wala, brother Teo, how can I be not real? Hey, crazy. I'm as real as what I am. Because you don't have the ability to insight into phenomena and to understand what mind is. What is the mundane mind? What is that true nature? You haven't had the insight and the realization. Except those who have connected, they will know. And when you are connected, you know very clearly. It's no more a theory. It's no more a knowledge. It's that realization, that understanding, which is very different. That's why that one transformed the form of mind. And the form of mind, from that moment onward, no longer deluded. Yeah. That's the reason why they used to tell you there are 10 factors that bind the living being to this world, yeah, to samsara. What are the 10 factors? When you become a sotapan, how many factors you see yet? 3. What are the 3? The first one is self-delusion. Even at the sotapan stage, you will know this form of mind is not me. That is the understanding. That's why that self-delusion, that this is me, this is I, all this can be mine, no more, gone. That's why the sotapan never go down anymore. Because they will never go down to the 4 willful state. Maximum 7 life, they finish. Then the second one is what? Right and richer no more. You know what is right and richer or not? you look at all the Buddhists, how they pray, how they make offering, and some they go to see medium and other things. Then they tell you what? You die already, you can become go kui. Or you die already, you go down to hell. Then you know what they tell you. You want to help your relative, or you want to have your own protection. You buy this package, he charge you how much. They can do something for you. All this type of right and ritual, go and pray here, pray there, believe in this. No more. Your faith in the Triple Gem, unshakable. Because this teaching is so different. Then they say when you die, you become what? You become what? You know this is not true at all. That rebirth consciousness is just that rebirth consciousness. That consciousness that come out, the random of consciousness, is not you anymore. It's the remain. So all this, the sotapan onward, they are very clear. That's why self-delusion no more, right and ritual no more. And the faith in the Triple Gem unshakable. So all these are in the teaching. And you can understand why these first 3 factors must go. Then after that, the next 2 factors, you know what or not? What are they? The second stage of sainthood, Sakadagami, they haven't severed them, no. They only attenuate them. You know what is attenuate? Reduce. You know what are the next two fetters? Your greed and your hatred. Means your anger and your hatred and your greed, your lust, your craving, all this. They only attenuated, no. Reduce only, no. Not until you hit the anagami, you cannot severe. When you become anagami, then the first five factor is gone. Then sensual desire, ill will, no more. Completely severe. But second stage of sainthood, you already attenuated very much less. Then you know, from anagami to arahant, there are five more factors. What are the five? What are the five? Tell me, go and get the notes already. Google. The first two is very easy. First two is attachment to what? What? Attachment to what? No. Attachment to form and formless. Jhana, understand? And there is a factor, you know. You somehow go and look for jhana. Attachment to form and formless jhana. Then what is the eighth one? Number eight also cannot remember. Ayo, like that. How to go beyond anagami? The anagami still have what? Self. Conceit, understand how? Minor conceit. Although he knows this is not him, but he still got this minor conceit, self-conceit. You know what is that or not? He still think, I anagami. All these people still put to jhana. That self-conceit still there, understand not? But he know this is not him, understand not? But he can still have that thought, understand? We are avijja, not rooted out. Then there is one more. What is it? Restlessness of mind, understand? At the level of anagami, the mind can still be restless, you understand? Because there is still avijja. So that restlessness of mind is still one of the factors. That's why you think easy, but you understand it is very easy. You will go through all this. And you have cultivated from the past. You just like I don't know how to find the word. Like you just go through it. You just what word you use? You pass through it very fast. Is there an English word for it? Express means for train and all this thing. But this one is like you still go through the sainthood way, but you pass through it very fast, understand? You don't have to be like a normal sotapan, cultivate, then inside, then stabilize. No need. If you have cultivated before, you go through it very fast one. I also don't know how to use the word to explain to you. No, it's not like that. You still go through the various stages of awakening. But you just pass through like that, understand? It's just like you have done it before, understand? Walk over or something like that. You just, but walk over means you didn't go through it. This one you go through it. But it's like just a flash. You already there. Then you look back. No wonder all this can be understood. Because it went through. Then, when it is there, it look back, it understand. That's why I understand how all this can happen. Because this nature went through, it transformed, it went through. And very fast. The moment it connect, all this understanding come back. And very fast, you go back to the level you used to be. Then from there, you continue. You will establish back very fast. Don't try to use your thought to understand. The thought cannot understand. But when you are in that cultivation, when you have that ability, that nature, you will understand what my nature tried to share. Because it is really, really beautiful, marvelous. And just imagine a form of mind that come like that. How can you have all this understanding? It's impossible, isn't it? How much time can you have in this world? If it's not because of this past perfection, the karmic nature, the spiritual nature, all this inheritance, and together with your vow, your aspiration, you can never do it. You understand? That's why the Bodhisattva way, if you understand, is very easy. All this great beings vow, everything will take you along. And all this understanding will take you along. Even your vow will take you along. But if you don't understand, you don't know how to establish this, it's like a zigzag puzzle. Huh? When the pieces are also not there, how to see the big picture of the zigzag puzzle? The small pieces that form the zigzag puzzle also not there. How can you understand that big picture, the overall? It's exactly like that. That's why this Dhamma is very rare. These Dhamma are like the zigzag puzzle, you know, the pieces, you know. And when you establish them all together, link them all together, then you see the big picture, then you understand what this thing is. So cultivation is just that way. But when you don't have the pieces, I tell you, it's not easy. It's just like the prototype of the car or the aeroplane. You know how long it takes to evolve that understanding. And from that prototype, after that first guy who come up with the idea of a car, even after the car has been manufactured, we still have to go and learn how to drive and take license. Then how did the fellow say that they wanted to invent the prototype, know that it can be driven? You understand, huh? Oh, and how to connect all this? That they try. Trial and error. You know how the Wright brothers started the plane? They don't know. They don't know what is an aeroplane also. But they saw the bird fly. So they also want to fly. So what they do? They start off with the glider. You understand? The glider. And then people modify the glider. Understand? Then later on, mechanical engineer come. Oh, put an engine there. Then the civil engineer study the Bernoulli's principle, hydraulics and all this thing, create the pressure difference, then the uplift, everything. That's how all this come. It evolve, understand? Somebody have to start. Like the Bodhisattva way, initially, the first few, very difficult. That's why Mahayana respect Virochana Buddha. You know who is Virochana Buddha? The one that we pay respect to at Cameron Highland at our retreat. You know who is he? He is the first Sammasambuddha. Understand? He is the original one. That one really difficult to find. The first one to do it. He not only built the prototype of the plane or the glider or the car. He developed until from scratch until the end. And he perfected it. That's why he is being very, very well respected. And people pay respect to his nature. Because they believe from his nature all the others are connected and linked. The affinity. And all these are only possible because the Bodhisattva know this way. Without this understanding to establish, every time the form of mind come, impossible for you to do great things. Do you understand? Impossible for you to have this understanding. That's why with this, it is possible. That's why my nature can come and share whatever it knows. Other nature come, they share whatever they know. Then the great beings, the Bodhisattvas, the Sammasambuddha, they can also establish all this. And they really, with their vow, they are here to help all living beings. Then some of them, they want to stay on. Like a Astore Bodhisattva. they make that type of heavy vow to make sure they continuously come anasana. You know how the vow make sure it doesn't stop coming. Because he vow, unless the hell is empty of living being, he will not vow to have the perfect enlightenment to be a samasambuddha. So that type of vow is self-imposing, anasana. How can the hell be empty of living being? You understand? Pure Land, yes. You go to Pure Land, no hell being, no willful state, one minimum human being upward. That is Pure Land. But that one is just very few of this Pure Land, understand? But compared to samsara, immense. So many. And you cannot count. Countless. So a lot of this understanding, not until you develop that training, that nature, you cannot understand. But today, I don't know why I share all this. Maybe up there they want to know. And you should thank Paramahansa for the condition, actually. Actually, this card, I never have any idea why it has to come out. I thought he will be put into a chanting book. Because he's supposed to do this chanting book. We're supposed to add in the five precept and the eight precept, like the retreat format. You know what is the retreat format? I will read to you the significance of precept. Silena suganti yanti, silena nibanti. Silena boga sampadan, silena nibanti yanti. Tasma silang viso de. Means this precept is the source of spiritual happiness, spiritual joy. Then the second one is the source of spiritual wealth. Then the last one is spiritual peacefulness of mind. That's why these precepts are important. You have to keep them. So this one we will put inside. Then in future, maybe the retreat version, we can just keep it until we need to refer to it. Then this card, she suggested, Ratio, should we put in the Bodhisattva vow? I said, yes, put it in. Then she printed it out for me to check. Then I checked. Then I didn't know it's going to be a separate card, which is a good idea. That's why today was ready. And I only... I know. I say put it separate, but I didn't know it's going to be a color. So this one turned out very beautiful. Because he typed it out and I looked through it. Then 2 days ago or 3 days ago, I think, I just told him go ahead. And then printed tonight. So handy. And tonight so many of you turn up. I don't know. You're good parami. Anyway, those who don't have, you can collect. How many did we print? 300, good. Means we can keep some at Suyan's place also. So this will be very useful. Okay. Now coming back to your meditation. Anybody want to report your meditation or ask any question? Or regarding the Bodhisattva vow, do you have any further question? Or whatever that you want to develop understanding? I need to have a drink. You all go and take your time to put up your hand. Where is the mic? Oh, here. Yeah, the mic is here. Ah, there, Pastor Joseph.
Hello. Brother Teo, is a Bodhisattva in the stream entering?
Technically, the Bodhisattva is an enlightened being. Bodhi is enlightenment.
Okay.
Sattva is being. So, Bodhisattva actually is an enlightened being, walking the path of Buddhahood. That is what a Bodhisattva is. But, not all Bodhisattva are enlightened being. Understand? You look at Tsuji. All their members are Bodhisattva. Do you know? They call it the 人间菩萨 because their teaching is the reverse. They learn about suffering, learn about compassion in action. You understand? They start with training them in compassion, in saving people who has problem. That is what 慈济 is. That's why 慈 is 慈悲济 is 救济 understand not? So they have compassion in action to help people who has calamity, suffering, misery. So they will put their student or their disciple or volunteers under this training. So when they go through this training, they see for themselves suffering. They see for themselves the benefits of being compassionate, being kind, being generous. And they see a lot of this, what they call nature's law. How come their karma can be like that? And when they see all this suffering, when they know the teaching, they will vow not to be heedless. They will vow to cultivate according to the advice of the Buddha. That's why the teaching comes later. But their way, if you don't have the understanding, if there's nobody to really guide you and teach you, it's not much different from what you all do, understand? Most of your so-called Theravada practitioner or devotee or cultivator, what do you all do? Just now in the car, I came with Elsie. You know what she told me? She said, "Brother, last time before she met me and joined the class and learned all the teaching, she go all over the temple, what she learned? Pay respect, do dana and all this thing. That's it, finished. Understand? That's why you do that, you cannot find a way. You can go for retreat for umpteen time, in and out. But you don't know what is meditation. You only learn the technique, the method, then you become gullible. You are attracted to the teacher, the method, the technique, then all the fancy words. If you do this style of cultivation, you are caught. You are trapped. Like today, I sent out this J. Krishnamurti quote about the religious mind. I read to you. This one is very interesting. Then you will understand why all the religion, they do all this. That's why they can never find the truth. Give me a minute. You listen. Is religion a matter of belief? So I say this is a very beautiful J. Krishnamurti quote. On is religion a matter of belief for sharing by all? So according to J. Krishnamurti, he said, religion as we generally know it or acknowledge it is a series of what? Beliefs, of dogmas, of rituals, of superstition, of worship of idols, or they call idol worshipping, of charms and gurus that will lead you to what you want as an ultimate goal. Correct not? The ultimate truth is your thought projection. That is what you want, which will make you happy, which will give you certainty of the deathless. They promise you what? Eternal heaven. Understand? And all those ultimate enlightenment or salvation. So the mind caught in all this creates a religion. A religion of dogma, of priestcraft,
of superstition and idol worship. And in that, you are caught in what? And the mind stagnate. That's why your mind become stagnant. Because you are not free anymore. You are conditioned into all this belief. Then he asks, is that religion? Is religion a matter of belief, a matter of knowledge of other people's experience and assertion? Or is religion merely the following of a moral code, morality? You know, it is comparatively easy to be moral, to do this and not to do that. Because it's easy, you can imitate a moral system. But behind that morality lurks the self, growing, expanding, aggressive and dominating. You agree or not? Yeah? Despite all the things you do in the name of religion, you still very strong ego. You believe or not? You agree or not? This is what he's trying to tell you. Behind that morality or that search for religion lurks the self growing, expanding, aggressive and not dominating. But is that religion? You have to find out what truth is, because that is the only thing that matters. Not whether you are rich or poor, not whether you are happily married and have children, because they all come to an end. You understand that word, huh? They will all die one day. There is always death. He sees it so clearly, you know. So without any form of belief, you must find out. You must have the vigor, means the virya, the self-reliance, the initiative, so that for yourself, you know what truth is, what God is, the thing that people call God. Yeah. Belief will not give you anything. Belief only corrupts, bind and darken your mind. The mind can only be free through vigor, through self-reliance. Means you must not believe anything, but you must find out like the scientists. Understand? Put it to test. Then it will stand up to investigation. If it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. It has nothing to do with thought. So all this thing is part of religion. That's why just now I was discussing with you about the Ciji, remember? Ciji, compassion in action. So for their way, it's also very difficult. Well, they don't stress on the teaching, on the meditation. They do teach. They have good books too. But how many of the disciples and devotees can really understand? Not many. Except those very serious ones. Yeah. But she trained a lot of determined, sincere, those with faith to walk this way. Because it must start somewhere, understand? No? To plant the seed of Bodhi, to start the Bodhisattva way. But I have never seen her. I don't know who you are from Ciji, is it? Did she give you the four basic vow? Pusa Tao. So Zhuge Pusa Tao. Naga Su Pusa Yen. No, not the ten basic, the four Bodhisattva vow. Just now we recite one. Huh? Oh, you recite as a chanting only? Ayo, like that, not enough. Yeah, but did they tell you to, after that, expand on all this vow and do all those cultivation? Cannot be after, if the master that gives you the vow don't explain to you and teach you how to do it, how you expect the devotee to understand? But never mind, maybe that is their way. They are not specialized in those ways, understand? Whereas my nature calm, this life is just the teaching. I don't do all the other things. I just give the teaching. Yeah, that is my mission. Yeah, my nature don't like this type of thing. It's not to say they are no good. Please don't get me wrong.
for me, what is more important is the teaching. And I don't need numbers. I only need a few who have the understanding. They will go a long way and they will establish this later on. Then because of our civilization, our technology, that's why the website came, everything came, the book, all this thing, and all this is going to set the condition for this understanding to stay in this world, this civilization. And this is going to grow. Yeah. Maybe a lot of us may not get to really see it. Yeah. Maybe we see the initial years of what can happen. Yeah. But the nature knows, this one, it will transform a lot of cultivators. Like I say, it will revolutionize the whole cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. It's very, very potent. Yeah. So coming back to your question, I haven't finished. The Bodhisattva that goes the Tsuji way on, may not be enlightened. You understand? No? They may not have the sainthood way yet. But they are also called Bodhisattva because they define Bodhisattva as somebody with a Bodhi mind, understand, who wants to walk this way. So Bodhi mind, if you are first stage, you just plant the seed of Bodhi, you may not be enlightened yet. That's why it's still a Bodhisattva, understand? So that one, you cannot choose to come. You cannot choose to come. You have to come through karma, understand? You have to come through karma. Then you have to wait till you connect, or you have the condition to realize the enlightenment of the sainthood way. Yeah. But because you already taken the vow, then as you go through the enlightenment of the sainthood way, and if you know how to take the vow, means you have teacher or you have guide who can guide you on this way. That's why as you progress, when you go through the transformation of the sainthood way, your nature will know. Because once it's connected, you will know. And the vow will be activated. Then if you continue to develop the faith, the sincerity and the diligence, then this way will become very established. Then when it becomes very established, you will reach the second stage of Bodhi mind development. Bodhi mind that embraces all vexation and suffering or affliction. So this Bodhi mind that can embrace all this is already very developed. Means it has the understanding. That's why it can embrace. It can take in all affliction, all suffering. That's why whatever suffering, whatever affliction to them is nothing. By then you would have established the way. Means you have gone beyond the Arahant way, the Arahantship. Enlightenment. Otherwise, you cannot walk this way. Otherwise, you cannot reach even the second stage of Bodhi mind development. Yeah. The first stage is very easy. Take the vow sincerely by planting in your nature this Bodhi mind to walk this way. That is the first stage. But to perfect that first stage, take a while. Take a while. And normally, as you go through the first stage of Bodhi mind development, if you are sincere, you have the understanding, you do it this way, you will pass through the sainthood way very fast, very fast. Then you will be established on the cultivation. Yeah. Then you can reach the second stage of Bodhi mind development within short period of time. Yeah. But from there until the third stage is not easy. The third stage is the Bodhi mind that illuminates your true nature. Means you must connect to your true nature, your true mind. And that one is not easy. Illuminate, you know, not just touch it, you know, not just realize the paucity, you know, that one is still far away. You know. Illuminate means it really know what that true nature is. It can go in and illuminate the whole nature, means it understand what this thing is. Then after that, it will go the different cultivation. It will go the six patriarchs, Black Form Sutta type of cultivation, or what they call the Diamond Sutta cultivation. Yeah. Means the real cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. Yeah. And when you hit that one,
you will not fall. That's why after you hit that one, you will go to the fourth stage. The fourth stage of Bodhi mind development is the Bodhi mind that renounce samsara. You know samsara is not real. That's why you can do all those things. Yeah. And once it can have that understanding, you will not fall anymore. In fact, at the third stage, you will never fall anymore. Yeah. All the way established up. Yeah. That's why it's very different. That every time your form and mind come, it's very different. Yeah. Very different. So, coming back to your question, not necessarily all the bodhisattva are enlightened. Yeah, but most of them are way beyond the arahantship way. The sinful way is very, very easy, relatively easy. Yeah. And it can be realized very fast. One life, just finished. Right? Yeah. Then after that, when you're established on the bodhisattva way, it will take much, much longer. But if you have the understanding, you can cut short the training. Mm, the perfection. Mm. That's why things become different, very different. Mm. Okay? Yeah? Sadhu, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So tonight we should thank Paramasri and Joseph for setting the condition to share all this. Just now I hear the alarm. So 10:30, maybe the clock is a little bit slow. We only 10:29. One more minute. Never mind, we stop. So we will share merit, transfer merit, then we will end. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anamodito chirang rakantu lokasana ita wata cha amehi Sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu Sabba sampati sidiya Hidang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Hidang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Hidang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Imina punyang kamina Mami bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect. Triple gem, then we end. So like Sui An say, happy Valentine's Day. But Valentine to the Dhamma, the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha.
So your Valentine is very different this year. That's why they reward you with the special teaching.
Okay.